Hello, this is Richard Dayoub. I'm president and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And this is our new show, El Paso Primetime. And this is my first ever attempt at being a host for this show. We hope it goes well. And my very first ever, then, by extension, guest is none other than Dr. Xavier De La Torre, the superintendent of Isleta School District. And Dr. De La Torre is joining me today so we can talk, no surprise, about the upcoming elections in November with the bond initiative that's so important to the district. So, Dr. De La Torre, why don't you begin with just offering me some thoughts, offering our audience a few thoughts about why this is so important to the community.
Well, first of all, thank you, Richard, for having me. Anytime I get a chance to talk about the Isleta Independent School District and the vision that we've established for the school district, I appreciate the opportunity. This is, in fact, the second time that we will approach our voters and ask them to consider supporting a significant investment in our school district. Many folks may not know this, but the district is 100 years old, and it has been a great, if not the best, choice for parents and students in the El Paso area for most of those 100 years. However, like any other institution that's been around for 100 years, the facilities, the schools, buildings, and other amenities that we offer our students weren't meant to last forever. And so the time has come, and I would argue it may be overdue to reinvest in the Isleta Independent School District. So this November, we are taking a $430.5 million bond proposition to our voters. It is slightly less than what the voters considered in May, but the most important, I think, element in this bond is that it wasn't developed by the superintendent or by the administration. It was actually created by a cross-section of our constituents in the Isleta Independent School District, including constituents who we identified as being opposed to the first bond.
Very interesting approach. Probably a wise approach this time around, too. You know, as the phrase goes, you want your friends close and your, in this case, I hesitate to use the word enemies, but those who oppose closer, because then it gives them an opportunity to see the transparency, the process, and understand it better. Our listeners today, they should know, under full disclosure, that the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce has unanimously supported this initiative the first time around, and I suspect at our September board meeting, our board will support this as well. And one of the reasons that we've done so is some of the reasons you just mentioned. But I think it's important for you to talk a little bit about the issues related to the cost to the taxpayers in your district, because that's been a very confusing aspect, has it not?
It has. I think the first challenge, of course, is getting taxpayers to get over the initial sticker shock, whether it was the $450 million price tag in May or the new $430.5 million price tag. One of the things that gets lost in the conversation when we talk about this price tag is that the Isleta Independent School District is the only school district in West Texas that affords its residential homeowners a 20% homestead exemption that has a significant impact on the property tax rate. The property tax rate can be misleading. So whereas our $1.36 is often interpreted as the highest property tax rate in the area, the reality is that the Isleta Independent School District requires the lowest tax burden of any school district in the area by virtue of that 20% additional local homestead exemption. So one of the things that we need to do is get out and educate the community, because the stars have lined up and there's something different about the election in November than what was present in May, and that is that the state has added a measure on the November ballot that would see the state homestead exemption increase from the current $15,000 flat rate to a $25,000 flat rate. What's the message? The message is you can secure $430.5 million worth of school improvements in the Isleta Independent School District. You can change the trajectory of that school district for 42,000 students, and your taxes will actually go down a year from now because of the additional $10,000 state homestead exemption. And that's unheard of. In fact, it's somewhat counterintuitive that it creates a problem for us in that it's hard for people to believe and they typically dismiss it. But the truth is that should we get the support of our community to build four brand new schools, a major reconstruction of Eastwood High School, new classrooms for our students with special needs, a complete reconstruction of Parkland Middle School, and a variety of other projects, including artificial surface at each of the seven comprehensive high schools, stadiums, new gymnasiums, and other amenities that would put us on par with a school district like the Socorro Independent School District, Kanutillo ISD, and parts of El Paso ISD, would come at no increase to our current residential homeowners in the form of a tax burden. In fact, they'd likely see a decrease. So for the person that owns that $100,000 home, they will see their taxes go down $70 if this bond passes. The other element that I like to discuss is that while the bond is great for our kids, great for our faculty and staff, it's also great for the El Paso economy. And our district has made a commitment to reinvest those monies in our economy by looking first at local businesses, contractors, subcontractors, plumbers, electricians, architects, engineers, as the primary source of design and professional services and ultimately labor when building these new facilities.
I'm glad you brought that up because I know that's been a big issue in the community, not just with the SLEDA district, but also in other school districts where bonds have passed and perhaps not a full utilization, a maximization, if you will, of the talent, the workforce talent that we have here to make sure that as much of that money is plowed back into the local economy by using those local providers, the contractors, engineers, architects, et cetera. So it's a bit of a relief to know that you're making a commitment at the district, the collective you, yourself and the school board itself, to ensure that as much is done as possible to make sure that those contracts are awarded locally and are processed. There is another element I hope you feel comfortable discussing with us, and that is you explained when you presented to our education committee a week or so ago the whole process where the state, should this bond pass and the voter support it, which we hope will occur, that there is an element of matching funds that come from the state. Would you explain that to us, please?
Right. They're referred to as EDA monies, and typically when the economy is doing well, the State Department and the Texas Education Association will make districts aware of the fact that the state has matching monies for new construction, renovation, remodernization projects in schools. And what drives that is the state's recognition that schools, by definition, are part of the independent school district system. In other words, there's an implied responsibility by the local municipality to take care of its schools, whether it be constructing new schools or remodernizing existing schools, that responsibility doesn't fall on the state. It falls on that local entity. And that the way you do that, of course, is that you assume a greater tax burden for the benefit of generations and generations of students. And I think that that's been lost in the conversation. But in order to resurrect that, what the state is now offering is an incentive to do just that by agreeing to match every dollar that we raise locally with a dollar from the state. So in essence, the 12% or the 12-cent increase in the property tax rate will really take care of a $215.5 million debt. The other $215 million will come in the form of matching monies from our state. So when you stop to think that taxes will go down and the state is going to pay for half of that, I don't know that you can find a better time or a better deal to resurrect, to re-energize a school district that has served this community very well for 100 years.
That's a great point. I'm glad you articulated it the way you did, because it's not an easy one to understand. And unfortunately, it's also virtually impossible to place that much information on the ballot in order for you to get that message across to those who are going to push the right buttons, we hope, and vote in support of this. Before we go on to other areas of education, are there any closing comments you'd like to make regarding the bond initiative?
Only that we're committed to it. We have looked at the results of what I like to call a post-mortem autopsy. It was a survey. As you can imagine, when the bond failed in May, there were a lot of theories and anecdotal stories as to why it failed. So instead of speculating, what we did is we brought in a professional from Austin that typically works not just bond elections, but has done polling for Rick Perry and other prominent legislators in the city. And what we learned was that we can reduce our registered voting population to five fingers. One of those fingers was in opposition of the bond, and that was the voters that were 55 years of age and older. The other four were generally in support of the bond. The problem was that of those four fingers, only one participated, which ended up in that 51-49 split. What is encouraging is that when the survey was conducted, at the end of the survey, the question was presented to that one finger that was in opposition, who was unaware of, half of them were unaware of the fact that there's a 20% homestead exemption in our district, and half of them were unaware that taxes are frozen at the age of 65. So the argument that they could not support the bond because they were on a fixed income was probably a lack of information on our part to make sure that people understood that when it comes to school referendums or school bond referendums, the state recognizes that people that are 65 and older have likely paid their dues for their own children and grandchildren and should no longer be saddled with that burden. However, when half of them aren't aware of that, then it's understandable why they may oppose it. The last question was, now that you know that, would you change your position? Would you go from opposition to support? And 15% of them said, yes, they would. That 15% would have been enough to pass the bond in May. So a lot of it has to do with our ability to get out in front of the more mature voters and provide them with this kind of information. And as everyone knows, we as a public entity are limited in the enthusiasm we can show when sharing information on the bond. It must be strictly informational, but we plan to get out there and do a much better job of providing that kind of information. And being invited to your program is one way of doing it, and we appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. We're glad to do our small part to try and inform and educate the community, hopefully in a successful initiative that you're pursuing as well. And I thought we had more time today so we could talk about other aspects of education, but unfortunately we're running out of time, but I think it might be helpful to the listeners to know, under full disclosure, that you and I both serve on Dr. Natalicio's Collaborative for Academic Excellence and work together closely along with the two superintendents from the other large districts, Socorro and El Paso ISD, as well as with Dr. Natalicio and Dr. Sarata from the Community College, the Dean of Education at UTEP and Region 19, to develop curricula across the community that's going to benefit our students, as we're talking about bricks and mortar, but internally we're also all working together to make sure that our students, the product that we produce, ends up being a product that can get a good paying job in our community as well. So Dr. De La Torre, I want to thank you again for taking the time from your schedule, and we wish you very much the best of luck in this process coming up on November the 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for having me, and we look forward to continued conversations with you.